back. Is there anybody else who I don't have a secret card for on the 7th who'd like to get that in? The next item is the East Township Healthcare District Sphere of Influence Amendment.
Okay, item 7 is a request for the Commission to consider amending the Sphere of Influence for the Eaton Township Healthcare District. At your April 11th special meeting, the Commission carefully considered a special study of the Eaton Township Healthcare District and all of the public comments ever received. After deliberation, the Commission deemed the study complete and decided not to initiate the solution today. Instead, the Commission directed staff to prepare a Sphere of Influence amendment that includes terms and conditions based upon recommendations in the study and to bring those recommendations back to the July 13th meeting for consideration. The staff report provides details and background about the study. The range of recommendations that are offered by the consultants include improving coordination with other healthcare providers, addressing risks and concerns related to the agency's risk of operations, and increasing public awareness of the district and its activities. The district indicates in correspondence to LASCO that it is implementing several of the recommendations already. Further, as noted in the staff report, the district is currently collaborating on a task force that was established to address the acute fiscal situation of the St. Rose Hospital in Cambridge. The district board also established a subcommittee that is specific to St. Rose issues and intends to work with a blue-ribbon committee whose purpose is to seek relief from Sutter Health regarding the San Leandro Hospital legal judgment. Neither the district nor Allegheny County indicates that any concrete steps have been taken to collaborate on grant-making activities. The correspondence has been exchanged, and the district board president has had an introductory meeting with the Allegheny County Healthcare Services Agency. The proposed terms and conditions essentially mirror the recommendations in the study. In summary, the proposed terms and conditions are to coordinate with Allegheny County healthcare providers and other local agencies within the district's boundaries to identify healthcare needs and funding opportunities, to develop and distribute an annual report, and to identify whether the district considers its real estate enterprise to be an investment or a community service, and then complete a risk analysis of the district's investment options. The full list of proposed conditions is contained in the staff report. At this time, the staff recommendation is that the Commission conduct a public hearing to receive public comment and consider comments prior to and during the public hearing, and to determine that the Sphere of Influence Amendment is categorically exempt pursuant to the California Environmental Quality Act and direct staff to file the notice of exemption, and to adopt a resolution amending the existing co-terminate Sphere of Influence to include the terms and conditions that were identified in the staff report. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions, but I know there are people here from the district and speaker cards.
Thank you. I'm Roxanne Lewis. I'm chair of the district. And as far as the recommendations and the terms and conditions, we have implemented most of them already, and those that we haven't, we do plan to do that. I have, as Mona mentioned, I had a personal meeting with Rebecca Gephardt and also with the mayor of Seabird, Mayor Holliday, and everyone is open to collaboration to see how we can work out things and to make things go a little bit smoother to serve the underserved of the community. We also have a task force that we created to work with Supervisor Hyatt to look at the sustainability for state growth, which is very important, and we're very committed to doing that and working to make that happen. It appears that it's going to be a lot easier to be working with county and other agencies when we're not always under attack. So I think that the recommendations and the conditions are very reasonable. we've had low metabolism, and reporting that in a year's time is perfect. We do have actually our entire board here today, plus our former CEO and our new CEO. So if there are any questions, we should be able to answer any and all of them from you.
Very good. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I do have some questions. I don't know if you're going to ask the questions of what you call the speakers.
Absolutely.
It would be nice to answer my questions.
No problem. Whatever you want. I'll send it back to you.
Right.
Next one is Tom Robertson. There it is. Welcome.
Thank you once again. I think this is my ninth time before I'd like to first of all thank all of you. This is the second time we've gone through the law tobacco process. In fact, I've been more than just 2 years. From everything I've experienced, you've done good and thoughtful care of and staff and a little bit to Mr. Burton, so I want to thank all of you. I think you've taken a lot of pride in board notes and finished all 5 months you're here and you're with our advisory committee or former CEO and the new CEO. You've gone through this process and very meticulously and in good faith to do everything possible. And with our all the financial records, all the things that we've gone through, everything has been done very proper, very own money, very fun bar, and a lot of transparency. And talking, I'd like to congratulate our department CEO, Kip Ohio, for his tremendous job, and two people that worked there in our office, too, because they kept meticulous records. And I think it's one of the reasons why we kind of, I think, get a favorable view of them. And talking with Mr. Mahoney, our new CEO, he used one word, which we're going to focus on. He believes, and I believe, too, that the impact of the union district is even greater positively on the community. And we have measured, so we have some good measurement criteria to measure our impact. And I think as you saw at public hearings, a lot of people came out to testify on what we have to speak for impact. And with that, again, I just want to thank you. We look forward to working with you in good faith to serve the public and the rest as we go forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Megan Lynch.
I'm one of the more members of the board, and I just wanted to say thank you for all the time and resources dedicated to the ideation, and I just wanted to reiterate that we are looking forward to increased collaboration and doing the best we can for our community.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
I'm looking for anyone. Nate, you have some questions.
Yes, I just pointed something out to you. I'm telling you that.
Okay. I left the new CEO. We saw him on the that sounds good. Just it just turned it. We just felt a little bit of background.
Yes, my name is Michael Mahoney. I started almost a month ago as the new district CEO. Prior to that, I was working in San Francisco. I'm a resident of Los Angeles County in Hayward. For a foundation, the Pacific Region Foundation, gradually developing an institute. Prior to that, I spent some time doing consulting, and prior to that, I spent 21 years as the CEO of St. Rose Hospital here. I'm involved in Alameda County Health, and I was the first in town and chair of the Alameda Alliance for Health. That's 18 years ago, I think.
I sound like you have quite a background here.
I have some questions that I want to ask of something, but first I need to clear up something. Looking at the report special study, a grant that Dr. Bell was given to the United States, do you call it year that one?
I'm sorry.
And that was maybe the, anyone else? What was the grant to?
Yeah, United
Services.
I don't recall the other words. You didn't buy the thing from that 5 years ago?
Yes, I know. Yes. The grant came 5 years ago, so I'm the president of the United States.
I just wanted to refuse my thoughts.
I see.
Yeah. Just want to make sure.
Do we have any questions for the new CEO, or would it be somebody else?
If I can ask my question, basically.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. The recommendation from the staff called for a mailing, I think, of an annual report to the constituents. Actually, doesn't say a recommendation, but it says developing distributing an annual report to all the schools. How do you intend on doing that? We haven't made any decisions on that. We can't do it in a way that's most comprehensive to get the information out. At the same time, to make sure that we can do it within the limits of our budget.
Yeah,
we're looking at some alternatives.
Because it also says, as well as post reports on website and site decision destination. So when they say add distribute, I'm trying to figure out how to mail that, or how's that going to get out?
We will certainly put it on our website, but then we'll look at other ways that we can get it out for a wider distribution. People may not be able to access it from the internet.
So the Senator just discussed our annual report as part of the calendar. We've got a calendar on everybody doing a real short form of an annual report. That gets sent to everybody. There's about 20,000 books in cash in all. Which is really printing and postage. It's a cost. You can't go up to
it. There's a lot of questions
raised
on that one. But basically, with these recommendations, how are you going to go about executing them? I know you're accepting the recommendations, but I'm trying to get a position now. How are these correct recommendations going to be executed? And are we going to have a follow-up to the last one on the execution?
We're starting our annual planning, and so I've just started my new role. Part of these obligations will be put into a master calendar so that we can make sure that we're hitting the dates as the report requests. And we're happy to distribute any information. We're not adding any additional staff. We're using the staff that we have now and some consultants that have helped. As an example, next week I have a meeting with a consultant that has helped on the community grants. We have a very active community grants committee. And one of the issues that came up at the very first meeting I attended was the issue of really getting better metrics so that we can measure our impact and then report out those impacts. But it will be done through as a priority for the board. That was a priority when I was interviewed. So we'll be setting up a calendar and then looking at those activities so we make sure they meet the deadlines and remain in compliance.
Okay. Because I know it does call for you to come back to LACO in 1 year with the report on if you and how you comply with the terms and conditions. So I know you're doing it.
Correct.
So, all right, and I know we'll be talking anyway about it. I was just curious if you had any something to respond.
I think the biggest issue for us is to make sure that we set up the calendar, we set up our program to make sure we get the study completed, the information, and then, as I said, make sure we get really good metrics on what the impact is on our community grants, as well as the investments that the district has that help support the provision of those grants.
Okay. And I think, you know, this is a very close vote, you know, 3-2, if I recall correctly. And the reason, you know, I supported not dissolving the district is because I do feel the district provides a beneficial service to the community and can do things that possibly cost work for the county as one of the conditions call for, possibly leverage even more money. And I know you did talk to the task force looking at state roads, et cetera.
and you know a lot of them, they
How long were you there?
21 years.
21 years,
yeah. I think you're in a good position to help the district bring that whole state road situation. But I think it's going to be really, really important that we get a sense of the district benefits to the community. I know the immediate benefit, but in terms of how that benefit is hopefully going to be attained over time. And obviously, St. Louis could be a part of that equation. There might be other ways to leverage additional money to make it part of the equation. And maybe all of that will be materialized, even rationalized in a year's time, maybe in 2 to 3 4. But I think that's kind of where, at least from my perspective, as the commissioner, I've done it a little before. And then, actually, we can talk in more detail offline.
Well, I'm in 100% agreement with that approach. And I know the board is as well.
Any other questions?
Real quickly, I see a presentation, I think it's the Hayward Fire Station Clinic.
Yes.
Would you guys be in support of something like that? Just come up?
I think we'd be in support of anything that looks at the underserved communities and coming up with different strategies on how we might be able to address it. The firehouse clinics are a good example of that. I'm currently serving on a group that's looking at the redevelopment of the EDU Center, which was something former Supervisor Gail Steele was very committed to. And part of that project is also looking at the Silver Pediatric Clinic, which is now managed by Spursley Vasquez, originally started by St. Rose and Hayward Rotary, of expanding that clinic beyond just pediatrics. So I think one of the reasons that I was so excited to take my position and come back to Alameda County was, one, I was very tired of commuting to San Francisco. But this county has a long history of innovative and collaborative solutions to difficult problems. And the district board has challenged me and themselves that we want to be at the table to make sure that we're part of those discussions and look at a way of leveraging the resources, just much like Supervisor Miley has said, so that we can do more than any one of us could do together.
Okay. Any other questions? All right. Comments?
Thank you.
I'd like to move to that
presentation. I advise that because it was more than 1 year ago, it's no required disclosure disqualifying if you just stay in commission on it.
Thank you, Kelly.
Yeah.
We're getting that on the record. Right.
Yeah, that's good.
My name was challenged by action here. So I'm going to move the recommendation that report was supported.
I do have a motion in a second. I'm going to have just 3 comments because I'm in the 3rd vote. I have a lot of confidence in what you have been doing and your aspirations to be better and to do more. Personally, I would hope that if you get a calendar put together, you will get a copy of it just so we have sort of a guideline of what's going to happen. And I may not live in your territory, but I appreciate what you're doing. And I have high hopes that
I'm not sure that you have formally opened a public hearing for this, so maybe we need to get back.
We haven't formally opened the public hearing. Any more comments?
If we hadn't opened the public hearing, then none of it. Okay, comment moving during the public hearing. So,
Okay. The next item would be the Policy and Budget Committee Recommendation.
This item provides information to the commission on the proposed policy changes to the commission's other various service agreement and spirit insurance policy. In conjunction with the commission's policy and budget committee, staff continues to work on updating and revising our policies and procedures to reflect local circumstances and conditions. Additionally, the proposed policy updates are designed to increase clarity and usability. Ultimately, all of LASCO's procedures are to support our legislative mandate to ensure efficient municipal service provision and preserve what is ethical and role in local state plans. The proposed process to update the Admiralty Service Agreement and Spirit Insurance Policy includes an opportunity for local agencies and interested parties to review the proposed provisions and provide comments to LASCO before the Commission considers adopting changes. Proposed Spirit Insurance policy changes were first brought to the Commission in January 2016, and at that time the Commission had a number of comments and questions, and those have been incorporated in the proposals that are before you now. In summary, the proposed peer influence provisions would indicate that LASCO's preference is for urbanization to be guided towards cities and away from agricultural and open space lands. Define what peer influence amendment versus an update is. Clarify that peer should be consistent with voter-approved urban growth boundaries. Acknowledge efforts by feminist agencies to protect and preserve agricultural and open space lands, define disadvantaged unincorporated areas of unincorporated communities and areas of concern, and acknowledge that the agencies here may include territories for the purpose of maintaining agriculture and for open space uses. The Commission expressed a desire to consider out-of-area service agreement policies along with the spirit influence policies, which is why those steps of the proposed changes are before you today. In summary, the proposed revisions to the out-of-area service agreement, service agreement policies include clarifying the contents of the agreement or contract, waiver of a property owner's right to protest annexation, and timing of LASCO approval, establishing an alternative approval process, such as a blanket approval process, to apply in specified circumstances, establish reconsideration procedures, connect the out-of-area service agreement, request to private studies, urban growth boundaries, and other relevant regional planning documents, and or local agency agreements, as well as other factors, and clarify procedures to the executive officer to approve emergency out-of-area service agreement request, establish that LASCO shall determine whether an exemption applies under Government Code Section 56133E and the circumstances under which the executive officer can make that determination. So at this time, staff requests direction from the Commission regarding the proposed review process, and then after receiving the Commission's feedback today and any comments that we might receive from our member agencies and other interested parties, then staff will incorporate those comments and bring the policy back to the Commission for consideration.
Comment about the policy relating to honoring urban growth boundaries that I'll get them confused. So it's within LASCO's purview that we're supposed to apply a city enacted urban growth boundary. I mean, I'm trying to understand how that would happen. I mean, the city comes to us, we're going to send it at the cities and says, no, we want you to approve this annexation. Have we been on any terms that's not the city of the urban growth boundary? I'm a little perplexed as to why we need that in a policy.
I think the purpose of the policy is just to recognize that there are jurisdictions that have urban growth boundaries. So if, it might not be a city that comes to LASCO, I mean, I can't really imagine a situation, nor have I talked with anything where, a property owner or someone else has come to LASCO without it being the city itself or a special district. But it's just an effort to have our commissions be able to recognize that there is an urban growth boundary out there, and we, LASCO doesn't have to abide by the city urban growth boundary or the county urban growth boundary, but it considers an annexation. And we, I don't think we currently have anything in our local policies whether LASCO will consider those when it makes its decisions or not. And this policy has to do with the sphere of influence. So it's not a boundary change per se, but obviously.
Yeah, I should have heard this with that sorry. Okay. I'm still not saying it though. Not that it's a big problem, but it struck me as, why would we get this?
Why would the city propose?
Yeah.
Is your question, why would the city propose to include territory in an urban, an area that's outside of urban growth boundaries?
Right.
But, yeah, I don't know, but I guess what I would say about that is I think that it certainly could be possible that a city would do that, and if they did, I would prefer to have a local policy that says, well, maybe LASCO would say, maybe city, we want to do that, but LASCO is going to say no, we don't think you should do that.
We have pending applications for city knowing what we're doing in this has, and that's outside of spirit. Okay. Oh, I guess it's going to be the same time, you know, it is goodbye. We can't even figure out how to consider it. You've had every good graphic.
Since we've been in discussion that it's inappropriate to extend sphere influence to not develop the land, to be
right,
more and to not develop.
Right.
And that was the purpose of the annexation of the city of Livermore, is we saw that there were all these forces at work, and that's why we wanted the sphere influence to actually protect the land and keep it as open space.
Right, and what I'm saying is kind of this is contrary to that, that the policy is contrary to that.
Well, I think it's the suggestion why you extend the sphere influence. Is it for development or to protect open space? I think that's the discussion.
And, that open space. Yeah, and I think in Livermore's case, I mean, the issue there, too, is the territory being, if it's outside of the Measure D, urban growth boundary that the county has established, it's kind of protected already. So, you know, I'm not sure that the argument for the city to include it, and it's just a sphere amendment, not an annexation or a boundary change that the city has proposed. I personally was kind of needing some more convincing of the fact that putting it in the city sphere would protect it more than
So the idea was put in the sphere that one city is going to not have itself noted.
And so in that case, if we have this policy, I think LASCO would have said to the city who might have wanted annex, who would have also had to put the territory in the sphere, that, well, our policy is to recognize the boundary and growth boundary, so we might not put it in any
but it would not be for urban development, so
right.
So it would be protecting it within the sphere of the city, but outside of the urban growth boundary, because you're not going to be putting urban development outside of the UGB. Instead, you would be extending your sphere of influence to prevent urban development from happening there.
And the zoning.
Yeah, so you're still able to have it in the sphere, whether or not it's within the urban growth boundary, because the intent is to keep it as open space. So it's consistent to have it outside the urban growth boundary, because it's consistent with pretending it is open space.
And I think the policy isn't saying shall. I think it's just giving the commission the option that it will recognize them. And if it doesn't recognize them, then if it was going to include territory in an area outside of urban growth boundary, perhaps we would have to do a little extra work to justify that.
It's not for urban growth.
Right.
So it's consistent with the UGB protecting it from it.
But it's giving potential applicants some guidance
that
you're
not
going to stand on that. It's not saying that
LASCO
shall or shall not.
Like that, I don't have any issue. I'm taking a longer view. And yet, today, Liberal may say we want to take Dillon J, and presumably Dublin thinks it should happen. And 20 years from now, it may be the exact opposite.
Except that we require a vote of the electorate in Liberal.
Right. Which, you know, I wonder what how this is going to read 20 years from now, perhaps.
Nobody knows, right?
That was my
only
observation.
I
don't have a problem with it. I'm just thinking about it, curiosity.
And I think you have that saying, curiosity from when we brought up in January.
Yes.
I tried to modify the language against this sentence. I'm not sure I was successful, but that's the intent.
So I do have a couple of other things that I just wordage. I think the word is wordage. Words that are being used, and I'm not sure if they're defined or need to be defined. A general area of concern.
Mm-hmm.
An area of concern. I don't know if there's a definition, but if there is, I missed it. You're close to that one. It's on number
3.
I'll look at the red line, number 3. There is all the things. One, it says, this is on number 2 in the policies, the last thing, laughter shall give great weight.
Yeah.
And another place, on number 4, when determining whether which location should provide services, considerable weight will be given. I don't care what this works, or better.
You're like,
well, I'm just so struck with it. It's like,
I will tell you this about that. I got the terminology great weight because that's the work you do not for around years. So I think I prefer to go with that because it's written in the law. But it is not really defined. It just means... We had a whole discussion about that on the committee.
Yeah.
Anybody else with comments? I guess. Any idea?
Yes, so does it sound like a good plan to send it out to the jurisdictions for the comments and then I'll bring it back? Okay.
And then certain plan.
I want to shoot for September, but I don't want to commit for
September. Do you want to make any false promises?
I'm from that is true.
Okay. Everybody satisfied with that? And the next item is nomination of the Board of Directors and Annual Achievement Award. Right? Okay.
So yeah, this is, how that goes, annual request for nominations for achievement awards and then for candidates for board of director members. And as you are acutely aware, Alameda Lasso is the source of 2 Calabasas board members currently sitting, and they are both those seats are the ones that are up for elections this year. So, one interesting thing to point out is Commissioner Sondorio will be reaching his term limit as a public member in May of 2018. So, so there's that. I don't know if the commission wants to. I know Commissioner Sondorio is interested.
I believe
in
quitting.
There you go.
But I would like to nominate Mayor Hashai. There is a category for him for a Cal Awards for managing or being our chair during our wonderful experience with the
very interesting series of meetings. Let's put it that way. Much easier to say now. Thank you very much, John, for being
here. Yes, well, I ended up just in time.
Yeah.
I think from my conversations with John, the one of the best things we learned was that, man, family and neighbors have been really nice couple neighbors.
Absolutely. And so I'm just looking at the categories. So there are, I'm sure, a couple of categories that we could include such a nomination, and I appreciate that feedback. There's also those projects themselves that the commission may want to consider nominating. I think the most recent award we got was government leadership for the East County, the Tri-Valley's efforts around water and wastewater to work together. And so we submitted something under that category. I'll think about different categories that we can submit something else, a nomination under. But are there other ideas that the commissioners are interested in? The process when they're nominating, because it was quite an interesting process.
Because my term is up in April, I'm going to basically be a board member for
6 months.
It seems to be fair just that someone else should, be elected. Exactly. And
is anyone else interested in being nominated? Or let's see, so we have an alternate other member?
Well, do we want to, I was the only one. It's just public member, right?
So,
Include Sven in this, even though you're May. I mean, there's you may move into an alternate position for a period of time or something until your term expires and something like that could work. And I think you've had valuable experience and you've done a great amount of input. And I think we would lose something to at least for this last year. I mean, I think there's more ways.
So should we renominate our existing?
I can't vote, but that would be my recommendation.
Well, okay, but the Western Health Council, I say...
One commissioner from each gender appointed for each county. We go through a process. Commissioner Bunner Vehicle was asking about how we get public commissions. And so we'll have to go through a process.
In the past, this board has extended the term, I think, of the public member in the past. I think that was the former.
We do have a term limit only for the public member,
yeah.
Which is something the commission could consider whether they want to keep or not.
I know the same as Apple.
I'm not sure that he's mine.
That was waived, so I think we did manage to waive against the church.
I did manage to be.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we can talk about that another time.
We might talk about that another time.
Okay. But it sounds like the commission is going to be nominating the two. Okay. And the other thing we need to do is voting delegates for the for participation in the election. And so, just as a reminder, the annual conference this year is in San Diego. It's at the end of October. I don't know who all is planning to go, but if you're planning to go, perhaps you would consider being the voting delegate.
What, John, are you planning to go?
It is.
I want to be my reservation. Since I'm board member, I'm assuming I don't assume I'm going to stay there.
This is San Diego. This is my convenient. It's October 25th through the 27th.
25th
through the 27th. I've been the voting member the last couple of years, so I would be happy to serve again.
Okay. And I'm happy to be the alternate if there's no one else that wants.
It's on the job, so it's on the nomination.
Okay.
Well, I'm happy to nominate Eugene.
Okay.
Okay.
Congratulations. Thank you. Okay. Next item, matters initiated by members of the commission. Anybody? Anything? All right. Informational
items.
Questions, comments,
mom? Anything? Well, the only thing I want to mention about the informational items is with respect to the legislative update. I just wanted to let the commission know that we did submit a letter to Governor Brown in support of signing AB 4464, which AB 4464 made a change to LACA law that clarified a provision around the commission's ability to approve annexations to territory that was already receiving services through an out-of-area service agreement, and it had to do with a court case in Santa Claus County, that means the Turlock Irrigation District. There was some local issue that rose up and ended up being an issue with the interpretation of the existing law, so we changed the word to, and the existing law clarified that LACO energy, as other sections of the law encourage us to approve annexation territory that's already in service. So that means both the legislature and the support government signature and how that works for a letter. So I can talk to the chair and when we submit a letter. And we intended to bring copies of today, but we forgot them, so we'll email them out so you can see it. And then the other thing I just want to mention is that just today, the CalAFCO Executive Director sent out an urgent request to submit a letter in opposition to AB 1361. Yes, it is. And that is a piece of legislation that was recently voted and amended maybe a week or two ago to, I guess, pretty much exempt Indian tribes from having to go through a process to get services to them, whether it's by the annexation, I think, or through another service agreement that would just bypass a lot of those process. And that's pretty much there was a piece of legislation last year that was specific to Indian tribes in, I think, San Diego, somewhere down south. And this time they made it broad to find any Indian tribes in any part of California. And so just on principle, CalAFCO is urging the Montos to send in a letter of opposition to bring our things to the process. So I'm gonna have our future chair sign the letter, and then we can send a copy of that.
Okay.
Yeah. We're gonna have them all cut that.
Okay.
We'll be.
So, Mona, where are we in court still for the announcement? Is that today?
Yeah.
Court bill, the original one, so we're going to want to use it. This year, he introduced some other piece of legislation that he was kind of holding up. I can't remember what the number was, and I want to say it was a two-year bill, but I have heard nothing about it from him, and the last I heard about it was he was going to use it for something else. So I don't know.
Right,
yeah, I don't know if that happened or not, but I can find out.
Okay.
I'm sure yeah, well, we didn't have to go ahead and have her. So as far as I know, for you, it's not just something that you're going to need to do. But I can follow up on that.
Providers meeting that Catherine Baker called, and one of the things she that I brought up to her is these constant attack from the legislature on special districts in Black Oak in particular, and either do away with this or fix the law to quit bypassing it. And she said, unfortunately, right now, there seems to be this big push to centralize everything and make, you know, things go away, and you're supposed to identify all of the
inactive
and special districts, which you all saw the list. I didn't even know we had some of those, like the Dublin Library one. But I understand that part of it, and she commented about that part of it. She did say she understood that our concern was there and that they were doing their best to make the new members aware of LACO's purpose.
And we shall do our part to continue meeting with our legislators. We had a little hiatus for that. We shall do our part. Okay.
One of them are always said it's really tough.
He didn't meet with them.
Yeah.
And we're all
there.
Right.
Okay.
All right. Anything further, Ms. Bob?
We're sure.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Yes, we do.